I am glad to be here. I told Rick in the time that I was visiting with him, I have struggled with this. I'll just leave it at that. Hopefully at the end, if there are places where I have made mistakes or inaccuracies, I would hope that you would point them out as far as that is concerned. And hopefully if we have time, if you have comments, I would appreciate those also. This morning, the assignment that I had was biblical numbers. And as far as an introduction, we use numbers and everything. Coming down this morning, I left home, and shortly after I left, I noticed red and blue lights, and in a 45-mile speed zone, there was an individual that had been pulled over by the state police. Numbers was involved. I would presume that they were speeding. I have no idea of knowing that, but I would presume that's what the problem was. In manufacturing, those of you who are involved as far as manufacturing know that numbers are used all the time. Length, width, thickness, tolerances, all kinds of numbers that are used as far as manufacturing a particular item. You go to the medical profession, and every time that I go in, they require a blood test. And in that blood test, they are looking for numbers. And a number is either you're in good shape or there's something matter. It's too high or it's too low, but it's all about numbers. You look as far as the government, the money that you have in your pocket, it's numbers. You look as far as home, your wife or girlfriend or whoever it might be uses pounds and ounces and teaspoons, and it's measurement, it's numbers. As far as school, those of you, well, all of us have been in school, achievement. 60% generally is not passing. 65% may be passing, depending upon the scale that is used. It all goes back to numbers. You have everything just about within our society is numbers. And so when we look at the Bible has many, many numbers. What is the significance of those numbers? And that's my assignment for today. Numbers are used to measure, they're used to describe, they're used to evaluate. Generally, we look at the Bible and we see a tremendous number of words, and we evaluate those words. We study those words to see the meaning of those words. And not very often do we look at the numbers and see if there's any significance as far as the numbers that have been used. And we are probably right to place emphasis upon words and not necessarily the numbers, but I think the numbers also give some significance as far as what the words are also. As I said, I had a hard time with this particular lesson. I have heard lessons in the past from numbers, and it has always bothered me because I never could pin down what the individual said. They may have used the number seven, and they said seven is something that is complete or is symbolic of completeness. And I say, where does anything in the Bible give you a definition that is what it is? And the lessons have been good. I'm not criticizing the lessons. It is my understanding of that particular subject that has bothered me, because I like to be able to pin down the validity of something and not just depend upon an individual that says that seven equals completeness. What I need some proof, and I have been unable to find proof, and this has been the struggle that I have had. I have read books and I've read commentaries and comments from individuals, and several Bible commentators scholars say that numbers cannot be trusted, that the reason is that the interpretation of the numbers are as varied as the individuals that are doing the describing. And I think that's probably true. In the book of Revelation, and I'm particularly talking as far as the candlesticks and the stars and things like that, that are specifically symbolic, given. At that particular instance, later on, it says the stars are, and the candlestick is, and it gives the definition of what the symbols are talking about. But when we come to numbers, we are not given anything that I am aware of that says the equation that you have here equals this answer over here. And that's been a bother to me. And after talking to various individuals and reading and whatever, I came upon something that makes sense to me. Now, whether it makes sense to you or not, we'll wait and see. But I came across the idea of, instead of finding something that is exactly this equals this, to look at it more in regards of a pattern. If you take the number three and you see three used here and here and here and here, what is that pattern? And in that particular pattern, does it give you a context or an idea of what that number might mean? And this is the approach that I am going to use this morning. I don't want anybody to get the idea that what I am going to say is absolutely valid, and there is no give and take, because I think in the numbers that it depends a lot upon the way that the individual looks at it. But in the patterns that are given, what do you see in that pattern? And that has made this particular subject that I've been given, it's a lot more solid, it's a lot more sure than it was in my mind when I started. The only time that I'm aware of anything that is used in the Bible regarding numbers that gives a number and then gives an explanation is in Revelations and it's the number 666. And it specifically says that point or that juncture that this is a number of a man or of man, however you want to read the words at that particular point. It's very vague, and I think prophecy is very vague, and it needs study as far as you are concerned and I am concerned. So as to any definitive answers that I'm going to give you today, I don't have any. But I do hope in what I have to say to make you think just a little bit more about the numbers that or the subject of numbers. Each time that I read the Bible, I am impressed that there is something there that I did not see. And as an illustration, last night I read, and all of a sudden I found something that I never had seen before. That is in 1 John, the first chapter, and verse number 1. And we'll talk about this a little bit later. But at that particular time, he's talking concerning Christ. And since my subject today was as far as numbers, I was thinking subconsciously about numbers, and it just popped out at me. Here's something that is going on. And why is it stated in that particular manner? And we'll talk about 1 John, first chapter and first verse here in just a little bit. But every time that you read, you have new thoughts, new ideas, and this morning I would like to look at numbers, I would like to look at their history, and I would like to look at the pitfalls that are there with the wrong use as far as numbers are concerned. Start with this morning, I would like to more or less set a foundation. And upon that foundation, then I would hope to build. And I would like for you to think with me as far as some verses. And I have underlined certain things that you see on the screen. And they're underlined for a reason, because I want you to think about them. Psalms 18 and 30, and also 2 Samuel 22, 31, it says, as for God, his way is perfect. Now, I emphasize the word way. Now, in Psalms, the 19th chapter and verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect. And I emphasize the word law. Psalms 145 and 17, it says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all of his works. Now, I emphasize the word works. Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter and verse number 4, it says, he is the rock, his work is perfect. And I emphasize work again. Isaiah, the 46th chapter, verses 9 and 10, it says, I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. And I emphasize, there is none like me. Now, based upon those particular verses, what do you think in terms of the way? What do we mean the way? There is a plan. There is a way of doing things. And the psalmist says it's perfect. Then we go to law. Law is something that we have been given. And it says that's perfect. And then we go to works. and his works are perfect. There's nobody that is like me, says God. I want you to think in terms of those. The way, the law, the works, they're complete. They are not to be improved upon, and nothing is left out as far as their doing. God's words, and we've already said they are perfect. Well, how are they perfect? They are perfect in power. They are perfect in holiness and righteousness. They are perfect in design. They are perfect in number. They're perfect object and in their result. And there's verses there at the bottom. Now, I emphasize the words and work. God's works and his words were spoken, they were written, and his works were done in the right way, at the right time, in the right order, and in the right number. Now, the Bible does not give extraneous material. I firmly believe that everything that is recorded that it was within the Bible is there for a reason. It's there for a purpose. And to say that something is just there, I don't think flies. I think God put it there for a reason. And I think we will see that in just a little bit. So, what would the conclusion as far as this particular foundation entail? We have proved that God's words and works are perfect. So, what do you expect to find as far as numbers? Numbers used by him are not put there haphazardly. That they would be there by design. That they would have significance, meaning that they would have meaning. The numbers are in perfect harmony with the rest of the information that is given. They are in perfect order. They are not chaotic by any means. That they are placed there through divine inspiration. And they are perfect in symmetry, meaning they are in perfect arrangement. They're well balanced of all the parts. And if we can prove by the end of our discussion today that the numbers are have those particular qualities, then I think we will be safe to say that numbers are an important part as far as the Bible is concerned. I would like to give you an example. In Genesis, the 21st chapter and verse number 2. Now, there are no numbers that are given in that particular verse. That number, that passage deals with Sarah and her conception and birth as far as Isaac is concerned. The particular phrase that I am after, the particular groups of words, is at the set time. Now, what does that imply? That implies that there are there is some numbers, that there is something that is going to happen, and it's going to be precise. It is not going to be before. It's not going to be after. It's not going to be just when I get around to it. It is something that is going to happen on a precise basis at the set time. And we know that it did. And if we find the same perfection in numbers as we do in words and works, then I think we have, and I put down here a heavenly autograph, we have a stamp by God on the inspiration as far as the Bible. I am not saying without it that we don't, because I think that the words that are given give us plenty of they give us plenty of whatever the word is that I'm trying to use, evidence of a supernatural being putting it all together. But I think by the use of numbers, there is an additional step, additional things that we can see. Now, in the study of this particular thing, I came across some other things, and I'll just throw it out to you. If numbers are important, what about colors? There's a lot of colors that are used in the Bible. Do colors have a symbolic use? What about names? We've often used names as far as this name means, but okay, on a symbol, the use of symbols, is there something significant concerning that? What about sounds? Why does it say the rooster crowed, or the sheep bleated, or whatever sounds? Is there, if the Bible does not use extraneous material, why is that used? Something that I can think about, something that you can think about. All right. Words are important. We already know that. We use that all the time. And the reference that I give as far as baptism, we go to the Greek and we use words. What is the definition of that word? And we use it. Well, what about the works that we find in the Bible? Well, you find Christ being immersed. You find the Ethiopian eunuch being immersed. That's important. We've learned to use that in our thinking and in our presentation as far as the gospel. Numbers are important in the Bible also. They show relationships. They show exactness. Perhaps they convey additional meanings as far as the Bible's supernatural design. And perhaps, and I use this statement with reservation, that I think numbers are to be used only in general concepts. I do not think that I can take the numbers that are given in the Bible and prove that Christ is going to come back at a certain time, or anything like that. I think that the numbers used are in general concepts only. Now, that's my thinking at this particular time. But that's how I see it. I think too many times individuals get real involved as far as numbers, and they use the numbers and start predicting. And I don't think that you can use these numbers and predict. I think they're for general concepts, understanding only. I think if we can see the same design of words and works and numbers that God has used in the Bible in a very amazing way, it's probably designed in numbers also. I think it's very safe to say that the Bible is not just a mere collection of a lot of old books, that those books are there because they are perfect in their completeness. And I think numbers